Welcome to Zion in Power, your weekly wellspring, where tradition meets truth and the word comes alive. Here at Empowerment Temple, we believe the same God who split the sea is still parting ways for us. Today, we're not just reading the text, we're walking inside it, wrestling with it, letting it read us from the cry of the prophets to the stillness between the steps. So take a breath, open your heart, grab your scriptures, and let's step into this word together. Our weekly portion from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1 through 3, 22. And then we also have our universal church readings. Before the foundation, there are weeks when the word doesn't just teach, it tills. When the scriptures don't just speak, they dig. Well, this is one of those weeks. We begin not with war, but with weight. Not with conquest, but cultivation. In Corinth, Paul calls them infants, not to shame, but to awaken. In the wilderness, Moses calls a people who saw the land, but weren't ready to live in it. So God pauses the journey. Not to punish, but to plant. Because growth isn't just about forward motion. It's about the soil of your soul. It's about what you build when no one is watching. It's about whether your foundation is fame or fire-tested faith. This week's reading stretches from Eden's dust to Canaan's edge, from the garden to the wilderness, from breath to burden. We ask not just what we're growing, but who is growing us? Because you may water and I may plant, but only God makes the seed grow. Our Saturday reading, in retrospect, came from Corinthians 3:1, God knows us. And it opens up in Deuteronomy 1. And I wanted to spend some time on this Deuteronomy, this Devarim. These are the words. It's the Deuteronomy is considered a Mishnah Torah. It's like you're telling all the stories we just read all over again, but there's a different voice. When we look at the cultivation of leaders, it is a good thing to, when you read Deuteronomy and hear the voice of Moses, and these are the words of Moses. But we knew Moses wasn't really too talkative. As a matter of fact, when God called him, he said, I'm not good with the tongue. I have this deformity. And here in the culmination of this Mishnah Torah of Devarim, we find that these are the words of Moses. We can truly see that Moses has grown and developed. And remember when Moses said, Lord, I have this impediment. God didn't rebuke him at that point. He did give him some scolding, but he questioned and said, who created the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the mouth to speak? God reminded Moses that he was the creator, and we see Moses' journey allows him to grow in such a way that he creates space for God to grow others. Essentially, when you think about the wilderness experience, Moses is a leader who took Israel out of Egypt so they had space so that God can grow them. And that's what true leaders do. You know, when we look at the opening thought of this week, they had stayed too long at the mountain. It was holy, but holiness that doesn't move becomes a mountain. Holiness that doesn't move becomes a monument to what was. God didn't call them to build altars at the foot of yesterday's flame. He called them to grow through the wilderness towards the promise, rooted not in a place, but in a presence that breathed life into dust and still speaks from fire. Our Sunday reading, we connected the difference or the two scriptures of the sure foundation. And that was a fun lesson. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. So it's a reminder of that we're part of something. We're part of a legacy. And as we inherit this legacy, as we become grafted in this legacy, we must be good stewards of it. And we compare that to our Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 12 to 21. It opens up in verse 12, "But you are such a heavy load to carry. How can I deal with all your problems and bickering?" Moses is just having real leadership struggles, right? If we're in leadership, there's going to be struggles. If you're following a leader, there's going to be struggles. And the response here, guys, is, "Hey, choose some well-respected men from each tribe who are well-known for their wisdom and understanding, and I will appoint them as your leaders." Right? So God opens up to say, "Hey, Moses, you alone can't do this. You need to engage other people to be active. This should be a model within all of our leadership. If we're not creating new leaders, then we need to kind of evaluate. So we should be refining leaders. We should be building leaders. We should be good leaders ourselves." And we could see a lot of leadership principles in the opening sections of Deuteronomy. And Monday, August 4th, God creates man and woman. And this is a fun one to look. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. "When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord had not yet sent rain to water the earth. And there's no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, God made springs to come up from the ground, and they watered all the land. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into man's nostril, and then man became a living person." So let's think about this. As God is breathing into life into man, he goes out of his way to say, there was no rain yet, that I had these wells, these springs that come up. And there's a whole lesson within our weekly reading of the 48 ways to reach the law, if you would, of the well and what the wells mean. And it'll be a fun study when we go back in person, but super fun study on that one. But this is not a happenstance or a chance. This is God showing, like, literally the creation of man is how we create leaders, that God has to be the wellspring. It is not. We are there to be cultivated. Our role is to receive the breath. Eden's humanity begins with breath, God's breath into dust. God's growth is not about ease. It's about trust. And yes, we whisper through trembling. On Tuesday, we move into, of course, we have our Psalms reading, which is Psalms 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God, ever so fitting. And you find in verse 3, you turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. For you, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few nights and hours." We know that the sages tell us that from this, of course, as well, is that a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years to man. There's a thought that a proof of this is that Adam lived to be 930, lived to be 70. There is 1,000 years. There's these fun things you find that connect. But again, this reminder of our dust. And in verse 9, we live our lives beneath your warmth, ending our years with a groan. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. And I wanted to just point out this here. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. And soon they disappear and we fly away. Something to ponder on. In Deuteronomy, we are we think we have time, but Moses, who lived longer than most, says the opposite. Sometimes God grows through grief, teaching us to value his voice above our own urgency. And in verse 41, he says, Moses says in Deuteronomy 1:41, "Then you confessed, 'We have sinned against the Lord. We will go into the land and fight for it, as the Lord our God commanded us.' So your men strapped on their weapons, thinking it would be easy to attack the hill country. But the Lord told me to tell you, 'Do not attack, for I am not with you. If you go ahead on your own, you'll be crushed by your enemies. This is what I told you, but you did not listen. Instead, you again rebelled against the Lord's command and arrogantly went into the hill country to fight. And I think this is something that we can look at when we have our zeal. I love zealous people, but sometimes our zeal can be a form of rebellion if our zeal is not of the Lord, right? When God tells us to pursue, we pursue. The Spirit doesn't tell us to pursue, we pray. Then we get to Wednesday's reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Live gloriously. It says, you say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. Paul is talking about living gloriously and graciously. He's dealing with people, different cultures are blending together, and some have these halachalistic ways, these old ways of walking that they have committed to, whether it's diet and meat, and you have these people that are new believers, and there's this clash in between, and people are saying, should I do this? Should I do that? And Paul's like, okay, listen, most importantly, we need to live gloriously. He says, if someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want. Eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But so, suppose someone tells you this meat was offered to an idol. Don't eat it, out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. So he's getting into something a little deeper here. Now, we have the dietary rules. We're familiar with what's kosher, what's not. Paul is talking about the unity of the church and how we join together. He's saying you can eat, you can drink, you can decide, but not everything is beneficial. They honor God's no as much as they trust his yes. That's maturity and growth. To honor God's no as much as you trust his yes is spiritual maturity and growth. Then we get to our Deuteronomy reading. And it's one, I've heard a sermon long ago on this one, Deuteronomy 2 verses, chapter 2, 2 through 30. It says, then at last the Lord said to me, you have been wandering around this hill country long enough. Turn to the north. Give these orders to the people. You'll pass through the country belonging to your relatives, the Edomites and Esau and descendants of Esau who live in Seir. The Edomites will feel threatened, but be so careful. Do not bother them, for I have given them all the hill country around Mount Seir as their property. I will not give them, or I will not give you even one square foot of their land. If you need to eat, or if you need food to eat or water to drink, pay them for it. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness during these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. And so this is where you find two promises connected together, similar to what Paul was talking earlier. He's like, hey, these descendants of Esau, they're in a land that I promised them. You can't take from them. Everything that you need, buy it. And I'm telling you to buy it because I provided a way for you to do it. Right. But the premise of this here is he says, you've been wandering around this hill country long enough. One translation says, we've been on this side of the mountain too long. And I heard a sermon say, it is time for us to go to the other side. It is time for us to move. But we have to move when the Lord tells us to move. Then we get to our Thursday reading is coming from Timothy, warnings against false teachers. if you wanted to put words on this one, it'd be giants fall when God says go, right? Let's review this real quick. It says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teach teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their conscience are dead. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks, for we know it is made acceptable by the word of God in prayer. Again, this is unifying the church, but we just read earlier, hey, if someone says this was given to idols, hold the phone. But it's the warning to false teachers. In Deuteronomy, We have the reminder. Remember, this is all the Mishnah Torah. Then the Lord said to me, look, I have begun to hand King Sihon over and his land over to you. Begin now to conquer and occupy his land. Then King Sihon declared war on us and mobilized his forces at Jahaz. So, you know, God said, hey, it's time for you to go to war. And then all of a sudden, the other king put war on us. God, you see, some would say, hey, God gave us a warning. No, God gives us commands. We're his children. And I think sometimes we have this thought that, oh, God's going to give us a warning. Be careful. No, God's like, hey, I command you. Like we're on this level. And that things move around us. When we're on step with God, then we're not warning. We're not, you know, wondering what's around the corner. We're acting with the mission. And the closer we are to the Almighty, the greater clarity we have in that. And that's when we see verse 36. The Lord our God also helped us conquer Aroer to the edge of Arnon Gorg. And the town of Gorge, where the whole area, as far as Gilead, no town had walls too strong for us. However, we avoided the land of the Ammonites as long along the Jabbok River and the towns in the hill country, all the places the Lord our God had commanded us to leave alone. So, hey, look, when God told us to do it, we did it. When he told us to no, we didn't do it. And then here he gets to the big, he's building up. Next, we turn and headed to the land of Bashan, where King Og and his entire army attacked us at Edrei. The Lord told me, do not be afraid of him. I have given you victory over Og and his entire army, and I will give you all his land. Treat him just as you treated King Sihon and of the Amorites, right? And so this is, again, where God doesn't go, hey, be careful, because, you know, oh, no, God's like, this is happening. Remember that thing we did? I need you to do it again, right? So when God says go, giants fall. Then we get to our Friday reading, the foundations test, right? And in 1 Corinthians 3:10, this whole week, you know, whether dust, field, building, or temple has led us here. So build with reverence, plant it with purpose, breathe deep in the spirit. The psalmist writes, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Just powerful. So I wanted to share this story as well before we close out. It's just a midrashic moment, the tree beneath the pavement. So a man planted a fig tree in a courtyard before the city was paved, and people mocked him. It bore no fruit. Years later, his grandson, an organizer, stumbled upon it growing through cracked asphalt. It hadn't died. It had waited, because it wasn't the soil, it was the blessing. Growth came not when the environment was ideal, but when the time was divine. This is how God grows us, not when we're comfortable, but when the seed inside has been made ready. So when we think about from, you know, how does it apply in a sense in Alabama, auto workers press forward for rights, for recognition. In Chicago, we have advocates rally for gig economy fairness, right? The lesson, sometimes growth is not about taking ground, but honoring the boundaries. Sometimes maturity means knowing when to wait. And we look at our week's reading, we find so many times where God does the activation, but just as importantly, there's times when God says, wait. And so I encourage us all to be full of zeal and eager to move. But let's also be more eager to listen to that small, still voice of the Almighty. May the spirit that shaped Eden's clay also shape your character. May the foundations you build rest not on fame, but on flame-tested faith. May your delays turn to discernment, and may your dust remember the breath. For you are not your own seed. You are not your own builder. You are God's field. You are God's building. And the foundation beneath you is already holy. Amen.